Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Norbert Givitz. How are you doing today?
Hi, Dan. Hi there. Thank you very much for introducing me for this awesome podcast or video or interview, whatever it is. But I really, really love to be here. So, my name is Norbert Givitz. I'm from Hungary, but I'm living in London for years now. Okay. And my book was an award-winning, The Seed Empire. So this was it's a sci-fi fantasy blend, basically. And this was an award-winning fantasy book in my country. It was like a choice award, similar to Goodreads, but we have like a Hungarian version of it. And
oh, that's
their
cool.
readers just voted me as the best of the year. And then we made a translation with a really, really famous translator in my country. It's called, he's Thomas Peters, Tomas, basically. And he was the translator of the Game of Thrones books in my country. So he's like a really big name, and he did a really good job. And we translated it, so now it's available in English, like a year now. And I entered a self-published competition, which is led by Mark Lawrence, who's a really big name. He's a bestseller author. He's like a legend, basically. And I was in that competition as well. And he also read my book. He just basically posted a recent few weeks, maybe a month now. So yeah, and also he's enjoyed it. So it's really, really cool. Really cool.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And now,
I forgot to add that to my subset questions because I actually just saw that somewhere the other day. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I think because I was looking up, your book just to get some other questions. It was kind of interesting to see that. You're back. Or I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You are back as well because I don't understand the question.
I was just going to say that I just saw that online recently because I looked up your book again. For something, and then I went down that rabbit hole of seeing what he had said about it. So I thought that was really cool. So that was really interesting. Jealous.
Thanks. And also, there is a big, big thing as well. So it's basically a week ago. I think it's just a week. Yeah, it's just a week. A week ago, it's published in Italian as well. Because when I was
awesome.
entered. It was a little bit okay. So yeah, so when I was into this competition, they basically just reaching out and they bought the rights and everything, and they made the translation. It took them a year, but now published it. So it's in Italian, so it's three languages already.
Oh,
and
wow.
I basically launched it in just 3 years ago, the Hungarian edition. So it's going really well, I guess. I'm really proud. And also there are some other languages as well, but I can't really say anything yet.
Yeah,
it's the future is bright.
That's amazing. That's really good though. Being at least three languages right off the bat. That's awesome. This Zoom is not cooperating very much. It's not even letting me know what's going on at this point.
I think every time when you speak, it freezes.
We'll see. I would say now it's telling me there's something up, but it's so weird. So if you don't mind, can you just let us know, go to that first question that I sent you. Just let us know a little bit more, maybe like where your writing journey, started compared to where it is now. That's a lot of really great accomplishments, like right off the bat. But where did you start your writing journey and, what's it been like to this point?
So technically, I think it's almost 10 years now. So I was just, I just writing short stories, but basically for myself. I not really published any of it. Maybe just a few friends of mine read it. But I was working on this story. It's the genre blend, fantasy sci-fi, basically. Because I was a huge fan of every kind of fantasy and sci-fi. Yeah. It's games to movies and books, like all of it. And I was not really find that the specific genre where you a bit mixing together these kind of things, because it's kind of like a new idea. I mean, there is some, but I don't really love them. It was like not for me. It was not a proper blend. And I think maybe I'm a little bit more of a sci-fi guy. So it just came into my mind an idea. What about like seeing a knight, like an actual medieval knight, and he's like found a plasma gun, you know, in a medieval age. Like what he
Yeah.
can do with it, or also it's like it's a lot of question why is that the stuff's there and so on. So that was the main idea. This was the first idea, and they just started to build a world around it and many characters. It's changing the years, but I was kind of lucky because during the period when COVID would hit in, this book was like in the development for me. Like I was like, okay, I really wanted to finish this in the next 2 years. I was working on it. I was drawing the map. I was have in my mind this thing, you know, which is in the cover, this mech creature-ish Leviathan. And it was everything on the works. So COVID hits in, so basically it's locked me in the house. So I was like, okay, it's now or never. So I basically just finished it in a year, the complete story. But I was working on it for years, so I was maybe it was basically the best timing for me to finish it, and I did
Yeah.
it. But I still studying, I still trying to finish the uni, and still working and everything, and also trying to manage the sequel.
Well, that's really awesome. I definitely understand that. I mean, I think a lot of us, right, we're in that same boat, is that we just wanted to finish ideas that we've had, right? So that was the one good thing about COVID, I would say, right, is authors and creatives had some time, right, to actually dwell on those things and finish some really cool things up. And I really think that that spurned a lot of awesome stuff, particularly with Mark Lawrence's, Spiffbo. I mean, the books that came out of it after the pandemic, not that the ones before then weren't great, but I actually went back recently and took a look, and it was absolutely amazing the amount of talent that you had, that people were just like, hey, this is happening. I'm going to, use this time to, finish this and to really get it out there. So, and I think a lot of those books in Spiffbo and just in the, the different genres, or I don't know, a lot of those ones that came out that time are now giving people now, different ideas. So I think we'll see waves and waves of positivity, at least from the, creative side, from our side, that come from that
Yeah,
time period. So it's pretty interesting. That's cool.
definitely. I think like it's tripled at least the amount of self-published books since COVID, or maybe even more. But just for example, when I was entered for self-published competition, I think it was filled up in an hour or something like that. It was never happened before the competition. And also in this year, as I heard, it was like some kind of lottery system, I think. Yeah. So yeah, just imagine like how many books that means. Like it's a lot actually, but it's because there is a lot of artistic people, and now traditional publishers they still want to do in a way. I don't want to judge them, but I just feel it because we're still struggling to find a proper one, because they're just focusing mostly on money or the uptrends what we have at the moment, during everywhere in the world, and they not really want to go for newbies because they have to build them up, they have to spend money on them, and maybe they have a budget for like 3 new people a year, and that's it. But that is like 30 or 300 or even 1,000. And we have a good opportunity now in the age of internet. Like you can basically wrote your book, you can find editors, there is a lot of freelancers, and then publish it on Amazon or Ingram Spark, and you can ship all around the world. And you basically, okay, you have to still do the marketing. But if you are good at it, and that is social media, you can do. And if your story is worth the people's time, yes, they're gonna read it, and I think that's what happened to mine as well. And even language barriers is not a thing now.
It's getting easier.
Yes, and I think a lot of people is more open now to go for like, for example, like Eastern European style writing, because it's a bit different than the traditional English literature and stories what they can. Like for example, there is a CD Projekt Red going with The Witcher, series and also the cyberpunk. It's a bit different story. Maybe it's a bit more darker what we usually get from the Western side, and maybe that's why they love the my book as well. Like, because now I can see, if we can say that, I have a lot of nice critics. Like, they enjoying it. Obviously, there are some flaws, but they enjoying my book. So I guess.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point though. Like there are, it's just easier now to get translated versions, particularly with Kindle. I'm like looking at some stuff, even traditionally published, right? From different countries. And I'm like, where have you been all my life, you know, with authors or books? And I'm like, oh, they're over here. But it's cool, right? That we're getting that globalization of literature now, right? Whether it's fantasy, sci-fi, or you know, something else. But it's cool. I know a lot of my friends who write dark fantasy that, you know, the first translation they get is German. And, you know, they do really well in the German market, better than, you know, in English a lot of the times. But it's because of the particular type of, you know, dark fantasy or particular type of fantasy, like you're saying, you know, that they have. I have a couple other friends, you know, where they just do better in, you know, in different parts of Eastern Europe in particular. So it's always interesting to me, right, to see what those trends are. Because I think a lot of times people don't market, they only market if they're American, right, to you know, people that, you know, predominantly in countries that speak English. But I think that's you know, a real shame, because I know some of my friends, 60% of their income, you know, comes from their translated versions now, no matter what they do. You know, it's like they found their audience, and they're, you know, whether it's a language, I don't call it a barrier, right? Whether it's the, you know, it's how something's perceived in a different society, right? Just talked about that today in my history class with English. And it's just interesting to see, but it's something for indie to think about, right? So I think about that a lot, you know, like I'm not doing well in English. Maybe I have it translated, right? And maybe I put it in this other market, and maybe it becomes a bestseller in that spot, you know? So I think it is something
Exactly.
in particular, you know, to think. And I think it's smart that you're, you know, working on different translations in particular, because, you know, if not, right? And a lot of times we wait for the interest, right? But sometimes it might be kind of interesting to see if you can get into these different markets to then get a full translation. So I think it's something to think about in terms of people like, oh no, they don't think about that, right? Here in the United States, we have 364 million people, and a lot of people only try, you know, to go there. But if you actually look at, you know, trying to expand a little bit, I think that I've just seen a lot of people be successful with that. So I think you're really smart for doing that. So that's really cool.
Thanks. And also, I still aiming for that, because you mentioned German. Yes, that's very surprising for me, because after the Hungarian and the US market, because that's the most main for me, not even the UK. Actually, German is my third biggest, which is really surprising, because I'm living in the UK. I'm usually doing interviews with the UK bloggers or posting here, but still the German market for me is the third. So I think I'm really thinking about doing a German translation as well. But I don't really find any publishers yet, I can safely say. So if someone from Germany working for a publisher, I'm here and I open up for them. Right.
I do know I have some German fans out there. I know that for a fact. Australia, Germany, UK, and Ireland in particular are some of the big ones. So you never know. Maybe we can get it out there for you. That'd be awesome. So you guys heard
All
Norbert
right.
now, right? If anybody knows anybody in Germany, like let them know, right? Hook us up. I would love to know
Yeah.
that. But it's so
Yep.
funny when
Yep.
I actually get to
Thanks.
talk to people. I've known quite a few people that, you know, and you know, there's other areas too, right? Where it's just so interesting to me. But like you said, right, UK, I think, you know, you look at the main stories that are coming out from the UK are even different, right, than people that are, you know, writing even in the same subgenre, right? Or about some of the same topics. I think a lot of those societal things come in, and people like me think they're absolutely, you know, if it's a different type of fantasy, for me, it's different. Even though America's large, right? We got all these different states and stuff, all these different authors, but we still have the same societal norms for the most part, right? So it's just interesting to see somebody write from a different perspective, from a different country, you know, within the genre or subgenres, because you end up getting a different story because of those different, you know, societal norms, whether yeah, it's just interesting.
Circumstances.
It's interesting. We even get the same thing here, state to state, or you know, like someone here writing a fantasy, it tends to be different than somebody in California or Texas. I'm in New York State, so it's so interesting to, you know, to get to see that. But yeah, it's super cool. But I think that's where your idea, when you sent it to me, I was like, oh, this is really neat, because you know, it didn't fit that normal mold, right? Even for a sci-fi fantasy that we're coming out most people are coming up with here. So I thought that that was a really cool idea. But that's why I really like the community, right? Particularly when we get something translated, is like that to me is really neat because that's a whole different idea that I never considered before. So it was a super cool synopsis for a plot. So I will actually talk right now about
Yep.
genre, speaking of which. So why sci-fi and fantasy for you? Like why are these, particular, why have these genres, kind of appeal to you, or science fiction or fantasy or both? I'm just curious. I was just curious why
That
sci-fi and
is.
fantasy were the genres that kind of appeal to you, or that sci-fi slash fantasy subgenre.
Right. I think they are pretty close to each other. That's why. But for example, how can I say? Like, that's my two most favorite. This is the biggest, I think, on the market. And usually some people putting the horror to this genre as well. And I have in my book as well a little bit of like a thriller horror-ish vibe. It's not like a horror, but it's just adding the spice up the book. But by this was my two favorites. Like, for example, I love Lord of the Rings. I love the Game of Thrones. I love to read sci-fis like Asimov, like the hard sci-fi things. Also, a lot of Hungarian authors whose book is not really translated or something, but they I just love this genres, and I was always fascinated the ideas to see mixing this together. Like, I not like both of the verse, but usually I'm not say seeing them in one pit in one book or movie or a game. Okay, there is some examples now, like for example the Horizon Zero Dawn games. Or there was the Cloud Atlas, where they was tried to mixing together, but it's still not the way how I imagined it. So I did a completely different kind of story. But yeah, for example, I was really enjoyed the Witcher games. I loved the Mass Effect games, and I was just fascinated by the idea. Like, okay, I wanted these two cool things somehow merge it together. That's it. I mean, and that was it, because I was not really seeing this kind of this. For example, there is the Warhammer universe,
I was gonna say,
but that's still more like fantasy for me. It's not that many sci-fi elements. I don't know how to explain it. It's similar to me, the Warhammer, like for Star Wars. Okay, I think a lot of Warhammer fan is gonna butcher me now, but in a way, like for example, Star Wars is more like a fantasy and not a sci-fi,
Totally.
right? So it's like a fun sci-fi-ish thing with the ships and everything, but that is sometimes there's no science behind it. I don't say mine is like super science-ish, but I usually trying to make some research when I wrote things down. I don't bothering my readers to know this kind of things. But I'm trying to be at least like believable, I think, to make it like a bit realistic, in a way. But still, like it's an author's freedom to if it's maybe too realistic, it's not gonna be enjoyable, I think. So it's just in an acceptable way.
I was gonna say, no 40K people blow this up, okay? We're just saying, for instance, right? But I think that is a good one. I totally get what you mean, because I have like a fantasy series, and I really liked kind of the Brandon Sanderson, where he takes like this old, story of the Mistborn and then goes into the future, and that's like the Elo of Law series, but it's set in the same world. I thought that was so cool. So I'd like to do that with my fantasy setting, one of them. And then I'd like to fast forward in the future, of that universe, to a 40K type of thing where you are blending fantasy and sci-fi together. So, you have the firearms and stuff like that, but you still have people that use magic and stuff. I've always liked that blend. So I totally get you. I think it's just fascinating as a writer, right? To take these sci-fi things, these fantasy, and be like, well, what if people had both, right? What if you had machines and Magic.
Yeah.
I gotta think that would do something different. Look at the Romans, right? They had so many slaves that it stopped their technological advancement compared to Asian countries, right? So I always think about that. Like the Malazan Book of the Fallen, they can do all these things with magic. Well, that probably stops them somewhat. And the bridge burners use that to great effect, right? They're like the Romans with engineering. And you know, I gotta think if you had magic, why would you engineer, right? But what if you had somebody that does both? So I think those kind of questions are fascinating to read and to write about. So I totally understand why that's attractive to you.
Yeah, and a lot of things, this can be actually magic in this kind of fictions, right?
That's
Like, for
fair, yeah.
example, right? Like, the sciences can be some kind of magic. It's tech magic, if you call it. Because if it's just so advanced, you don't even know how it works, but it just works and it's basically a magic, right? It's just tech magic. So, why it can't be in a way like, okay, you have to still build ships and you have to still build this and this, but the universe is so big that like, there can be like different powers or different cultures or whatever who can actually use like something like what we not use or not used to. And this can be magic, basically. Actually, I love the Warhammer universe as well. So I think I'm not offending everyone because I love it.
Stop commenting, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yes. So I enjoy it. But my book is completely different, I think, in a way, because I'm really trying to stay a bit more realistic. I don't know. But anyways, somebody gonna read my book, it's gonna feel it like what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? There was something I forget, so I give it back there.
Oh yeah. Well, I was just thought it
Oscar.
was interesting that you mentioned like Foundation and, as a Isaac Asimov, right? Where there's so many things, right? Where I get what you're saying, because also have read, having read like Larry Niven, right? There's a lot of things that, is scientific about those books, right? Or that they're coming from. But there also is a little bit of that fantasy, right? Where you're not entirely sure how things are working. So I know I always think it's interesting to see how people handle those types of things. Because I think we look at Asimov, right, and Foundation, particularly if you look at like how they represent things in the new TV show. I've only seen clips and stuff, but I've seen some particular authors or writers like dissect things, and it's like without knowing to the full extent, right, for us, like how they do things or how their tech works. Particularly within the TV show, it looks like Stargate SG-1 is another great TV show that, has a lot of science fiction, but they don't know how the Stargates work, right? They can use it, but they can't replicate it, right? They might be able to fix them from time to time, but there's a lot of those fantasy elements in there. And I think they just do a great job, both of them, and Warhammer, right? Like all three of them, really using the science fiction aspects, but still having those plots of fantasy. So I think it's really cool to have those different layers. It's neat. But let's get talking about your book in particular. So thank you so much for sending it to me. It looks amazing. So I love the blurb every time I read it. I was going back over it the other day. So can you tell me what The Sealed Empire is about and how you came up with this idea?
Without spoilers.
Yeah, without spoilers. Yeah.
So
Even my book reviews are spoil free, so.
yeah, so we have this medieval knight. I mentioned his name is Edward, and basically he's going for an expedition. It's like a daring expedition for the birds and basically for where the gods live. So it's like a really religious thing. And that secretly, basically, you just want to earn the relevant, the high priest blessing to be with his daughter, because they secretly they are kind of together. So he just wants the blessing because he's like a foreign knight. He's not from the kingdom. Okay, so he's like really feels like off. He was just joined to the war, and he's became like a knight, and then he became a captain, and so on. So he doesn't really fit in to that kingdom, this Isengard kingdom. But anyway, he's going for this expedition, and they're bringing a relic with them to going for this God's land. So this really relic in the ship. It's some spoilers, but it's in a page 10 or something like that. So I'm really sorry. So it's in the relic is basically a plasma gun. All right. So But they think it's like a godlike weapon or something magical, but it's basically a plasma weapon. As you're a reader, you're gonna know it. Okay, this is tech. All right. Yeah, and also there is the lady, Emma, that's Edward's love interest and the high prince's daughter. She's still in the kingdom because she's like a noble woman. They're really trying to marry her, something like whatever, like a noble ish someone. But also the king, the new king, Eric, who became the king because the king is basically dying during the expedition. He's going to become the new king, and he really wants Emma as her new fiance to being queen. Obviously, Emma doesn't want it because he wants to be this captain, the sailor, Edward. But yeah, so it's one of the major issue in the book. Also, there will be some younger ones, Emily, and some of the, so without big spoilers, trying to, because there is plenty. I mean, like I start in the middle of the story, and it's just going to go like a train. You hop
Oh,
on,
awesome.
and it's gonna go. Okay, sometimes maybe one or few chapters is gonna be like the world or the history, just to know like what's going on. But most of the times, it's really fast paced. It's quick. It's always some kind of small cliff anger. That's how it's all of the characters. So every chapter, which is short, like 5, 10 page, you are with different characters, and everything is always ending like okay, what's gonna happen? Ah, it's a new character again. So it's like gonna be like 5 characters, and also the king, who is basically the villain, Eric. He's also a point of view character. So you're gonna see and read his thoughts, his actions, even if you don't like it. This is one of the, how can I say, like trigger warning-ish, because this is a dark fantasy. This is in the medievals, so obviously it's for matured adult peoples. So yeah, it's gonna happen some dark stuff, yes, and it's gonna be blood and so on. So it's brutal at one point, but I think it's a bit justified because it's giving characters some more motivations. It's driven the story where it goes. So I'm really sorry about that, but I have to write like that's very like, but it's the fun if you always like, okay, you're muting down, okay, we've been nice. No, you can't. Okay, it's a different world. This is how it works.
I'm
Yeah.
totally.
So 5 main characters. Two of them is young, Emily and Adam, Eric, Edward, and Emma. And everybody is hating me because I named them with E. All of them is starting with E. You can find it on Goodreads. Like, why are I doing this? What the fuck is wrong with me?
That's
The thing is, I always think it's funny. But that is a twist, which I wanted to hide it because of that. And I think everybody completely gets it
Oh, that's cool.
when gets to the somewhere in the end part, but it's still telling me like, okay, this is not justifying it. This doesn't justify what I do, because everybody is like pissed off because O is E and they're forgetting who is who. So honestly, I'm really sorry, but I was get some ideas also from Stan Lee, who was named his characters with always the same letter, starring like Peter Parker, stuff like that. I always thought it's funny.
That's awesome.
And there is a third thing as well, because in my language, in Hungarian, and specifically the area where I came, it's also be using a lot of E's. Like, for example, the city is called Szeged, just 2 E's in it. And sometimes Germans told me like we're spoken with so many E's when we spoke. That's what they hear, or also English speakers when they're hearing us, like there's a lot of E's in there. And I always thought it's also funny if I just go like 5 E's.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's a lot of E's used to that. I'm sorry.
It's so funny because I was thinking that the other day. I like had to rename a couple characters for my novella, and I was like, I was missing like three characters. I found out for like a Oh, like a military squad. So I had to add them. And I was actually thinking about that. I was like, oh, I already have like two A's. I was like, I have two S's. I was like, I'm gonna have to change that. So I changed those a couple on purpose. So that way it wasn't just like doing that. Because I always think about that. Because I always go with certain names for some reason. And I feel like they're always like the same, start with the same five letters. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if that's just how my brain works or what, or if that's just what I'm used to seeing. Maybe my brain, is just picking it up. But yeah, it's so funny that you say that because I was just like having that like debate with myself the other day. So that's really funny.
I think if they have a different gender, I mean, like there's a male and a
Oh,
female, you can
yeah.
still go for A's and E's and so on. Yeah, go for it. I mean,
Yeah.
you are the
I
right.
had to
This
do like
is
a Roman thing, like a Roman zombie thing, like trying to see where like the Lost Legion went. And I was like, oh, zombies. And I'm getting like a monster hunting crew, like an ancient monster hunting crew from them. And but I was going through the Roman names and I was like, oh, all the cool ones like started with particular letters. So after a while, I was like, but these are really cool. And I was like, well, I'll just say that they were from the same region or something because that's probably why, right? So, but it was just interesting. I needed like, a set number and I was just like, oh well, like two guys have, start with the R, two start with the E, two with the A. It was just like it was just kind of cool. So I just kind of went with what sounded good. But yeah, it was interesting, but it was really neat. I was just gonna say it, when you were explaining, and when I was reading the blurb too, there's so many cool concepts that kind of like the I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Outlander with Jim Caviezel, but he's like an alien from out of space and he's tracking, he's a human alien and he's tracking an alien here. And that's actually where he comes in contact with the Vikings, and essentially he helps them
I heard
fight.
this movie. I heard
So
this and
good,
I never seen it. I never
oh, so
found it.
good! It's on like
I have
Amazon
to.
Prime, I think, or something. It's so good. But like, I was just saying, because like that concept was so neat. Like, but they took it and like allegedly in the movie, that's where we get the Beowulf legend from, right? Was he helps them fight this, this creature. Great movie, by the way. Great sci-fi fantasy or historical fiction stuff. I loved it. I'll send you the link. It was really good. But it's just so cool to think, even when I got to your cover, and the blurb, I'm just thinking like, how cool is it, right, to have that type of Leviathan, or think of that, right, like that type of those kind of questions that that were brought up in the movie, right? Like, like where did a lot of our legends and things come from? So particularly from, your knight or just this society, right? Like where did the monstrous beasts, these legends for them come from? So it's just so interesting to think that they could have a scientific connotation, right? Or a technological advancement. So I just thought that there was a Brandon Sanderson had a lecture too, where he talks about how these advanced humans from Earth in the future, I can't remember what the book was called, but they end up going to another primitive society, opposite of Star Trek, right? Like where they don't try to interact with the primitive society because they don't want to change it. But these advanced humans do, and it's a science fiction story. So they do, and they have the ability of like one person has the ability to heal. Well, they don't really have the ability. It's that they like essentially have the technology to heal somebody. But the primitive people think that they're gods. So essentially this crew of, like advanced astronauts for Earth, like essentially trick these people into thinking they're Greek gods, essentially. So I always just think like those kind of concepts are so cool. So as a history teacher, it's I gotta ask, right? Like, I just think it's cool because you're making me ask questions, right? Like, because it always makes you think, like, where did our things come from? So I think it's so cool that you went along that original storytelling vein, right? For these beasts and things. And I don't want to give like spoilers and stuff away, but I'm just curious at like kind of like, was that kind of some of the origin of this idea for the Leviathan or, like these kind of other creatures? I'm just kind of curious at, like how you kind of set that up within your own world building, like how the people were, like where their legends came from or how they were interacting. I'm just kind of curious how you kind of thought about that and put that into place because that's just so cool. Such a cool concept.
Exactly. I was also so amazed of this history change things. I don't say I like a massive like ancient alien fan or something, but I think
Oh,
the
yeah.
concept as a
It's interesting.
sci-fi, I think it's so fascinating. So I was like grow up like this. For example, the Stargate is basically like that. It's a fact. it's based on an ancient alien thing. So
Yeah.
like how else our legend came. And yeah, so this Leviathan things are mixed together the medieval and this new type of creature, because you can clearly see it's like mechanic, it's something futuristic something. It's also can be a monster as a Leviathan from the back from the Viking ages. So yeah, it's coming from absolutely there, because I love history, I love gods like the Greeks, Nordic, and so on. I love this kind of stuff. So it's coming from that basically. Like it's also
That's
it
cool.
was in my head, like, okay, what if they finding a mechanic Leviathan something, which can be actually, and I'm gonna explain obviously in the books like what are they basically. But it's just really at the end of the book.
That's
The
cool.
book during the war book is a mystery, obviously. But yeah, so these ideas, it's come to my mind because of historical stuff. If you think about that, even us with our daily technology, which is just your phone and the knowledge, you know, if you're teleporting back somewhere to ancient Rome or to the Greeks or whatever, you may be a god as well, or at least a superior being who knows so many things and you can use so much stuff. It's just like they can't even imagine it, so you will be a god there. Yeah, so imagine this thing is like even superior, like a futurist with some futuristic things. You're actually a god there.
I just think it is a fascinating thing. Like I'm a historian, so I look at things and I look at there's so many weird things. There's just so many weird things I've seen. I do historical mysteries with my students now because I just want to hear their ideas. And I think it's good for them just to think about what could be, right? I think being a historian is not about seeing what was because we don't necessarily always know, right? So I think questioning is a good thing. So I think it's always interesting. So, like when I lived in Arizona, I had friends that were like, you need to go check out these canyon walls. And I'm like, why? They're like, they're only about an hour and a half outside of town. They're like, they're weird. And I had friends, I couldn't go that weekend. I actually met my wife, so we went on a date, second date. So it's funny, but they sent me pictures back and they're like, dude, look at these pictures. They're like, as a historian, or they're like, this is your thing. And it was weird. And like they're bizarre. Like, and you're like, they saw something that was weird, right? So as an urban fantasy writer, I always think about that. So I like have
That's
ogres,
cool.
right? Or where these things came from. And in my urban fantasy, I actually have essentially like they're from somewhere else, right? And through the series, you learn that. Well, I have these like ogres. They're not really ogres. They're a different species that come from somewhere else and they get stuck here in ancient times. And then they start the legends of all these things, Bigfoot, Grendel, whatever. And I always think that that's interesting is where did these things come from? So I just love that you went with that route and, kind of did, something different than I'm doing, even, with urban fantasy, because I think that's super cool. Because what if they, saw something that was technological and didn't know that, right? Because they wouldn't know that. So they would assume that, it could be a Cyclops. I had a friend did that with the Cyclops where it was like a suit. Like the sometimes they do with Rhino from Spider-Man. I just think it's absolutely fascinating. So I just thought that was a really cool thing that you did in particular with the cover. It just got me excited right away to read the story. So that was super cool.
Oh, thanks. I mean, thank you very much. I definitely have to check out your stuff as well. I'm so behind of
I'm there
everyone.
too, man. I have like five things supposed to be out next year. My wife's like, you're gonna be able to do this. I'm like, if our son sleeps a little more, probably. I get that.
Know, sometimes I just want to stop the time and like catch
I just
up.
said that
But
yesterday to somebody, author. So funny. So you get some extra reading or writing in, or just even sleep at some point. My friend goes, when do you sleep? I'm like, I try. It's hard to get everything done. But yeah, no, it's so true.
It's really hard, especially when you're constantly thinking, your body is tired, but you still want to come up with your stories, you still want to do it's oh God. I mean,
My buddy at 4:30 yesterday was like, hey, you need to write this thing. And I was like, I'm sleeping. I woke up. I had to like train myself to go back to sleep. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a
It
bit,
happens to me all the time.
It's okay. I catch you in the last part, and I know what she says, so don't
I
worry.
was just saying, like, I was just saying, it's just crazy. Like, I was up this morning and my dream was writing itself, right? So I woke up and I was like, God, that's a great idea. But I was like, I have to go to sleep. Otherwise, I'm just going to stay awake, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to turn that writer brain off, I think, at certain points when it just gets going. But I think that's super
Yeah.
cool. So we talked about the setting, which I a little bit so far, which I thought was cool. You know, we talked a little bit about the other cast of characters. But I really am interested when it comes down to the monsters. What type of vibe or what type of feeling were you trying to give us with their appearance and their overall abilities without, like, you know, giving us spoilers? I'm just curious because, like, this has a particular type of emotion that it's trying to evoke, right? Between the ship and the monster. So I'm just curious at what was your goal, like, overall goal with the monsters? Like, what did you want us to think and feel along with the characters? Particularly at the start of this tale.
So yeah, this the cover is basically the first chapter of the book.
Well,
This
that's awesome.
encounter thing, it's the beginning. It's right in the middle. That's what you learn as you try to write something. I think they start to teach
Yeah.
these slides. Start in the middle, and then you're gonna explain how the works, how the world works, or what the character motivations are, or just give them enough, but just go.
Yeah.
These are what movies do. This is what games do
Yeah.
nowadays. So yeah. So I just wanted to make that this overall fear when you encounter something you don't know what it is, it's much bigger, it's much faster, it's much stronger than you or the whole crew or the whole ship or whatever. So it's give you fear, basically. Fear of the unknown. And this is what the monsters represent, I think, in my books. It's basically just the elemental deep down fear in humanity. Just fear something which can destroy you like in a heartbeat. Yeah. So that's the monster. What's why my book has the thing is it's closer to thing for Game of Thrones dark fantasy vibe. At least from the kingdom vibe, where there are the scheming
Yeah.
and spider web kind of ish things, but also there is a mystery. It's like it's almost like a thriller. Like you want to figure it out what's going on with this sci-fi stuff, because the character, especially with Edward, is gonna know deep down, like, okay, something is off, something is off with this. He's not really faithful as well. Like, for example, the high priest, which is representing the faith, like blind faith, basically. Why Edward is not that faithful, so he's gonna see it's like something is off. What else have I mentioned? So yeah, this mysteries driven the story. Also, obviously, there is some love interest because of Edward and Emma. They are kind of separated because of these events. But it's really action packed. I mean, like with a lot of monsters, plasma guns, knights, and everything. Like, yeah, we're gonna smash.
Well, I just love
mean,
that the scene you chose and the
yeah.
feeling right off the bat. Like, I was just like, my friend goes, he's trying to think of a cover and, you know, like what to do. And I was like, let me send you this cover. And so I sent it to him and I was like, literally, like, talking about setting your expectation for a reader, you know. And I'm like, there you go. You know, he was like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying, because he wasn't really understanding what I was trying to convey online, you know. So I was like, let me just send you this cover. So I sent yours and like two others that I thought like just set a tone right away. You just look at the cover, you know, even before reading the blurb, and you're like, okay, dang. But I'm being a fisherman myself, knowing what it's like to be in the middle of a large body of water and not see any land, like completely
Yeah.
terrifying, right? Like, it's totally different feeling when you're on a lake or, you know, even on the ocean and you can see land, but to be in the middle of nowhere, right? And be in a
Exactly.
storm, it's absolutely terrifying, just not even
Exactly.
thinking of a Leviathan or something. So yeah, I've been there on charter boats and stuff, and I'm just like, man, like, so as soon as I saw this, like, that just gave me, I was like, oh, it brought me right back to, you know, being there on the boat and not seeing any land and just being like, holy crap, what if something does just pop out at some point? Or what's under there? You know, it just goes on for miles and miles in any direction. And you
Yes.
can't see, right? Like a shark will
So
pop up, but
it's
it's
an
like, what's under?
absolutely the unknown,
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
they're also setting up, they're going somewhere, they are absolutely unknown. But to be fair, like the Bo book is not really on sea. Like there was some I think negative critics, like everybody was thinking it's like always gonna be like a Pirates of the Caribbean meet the Leviathan thing. Well, it's not like that. There is not that many part of on the sea basically. So they obviously they're traveling, but they're just traveling to the unknown. And later on in the sequels or something, I'm gonna bring back some oceans, or some kind of similarities for the sea. But for me, the sea is actually represented something similar as the space. Like for example, if you're going for a space exploration, you're going with also with the ship. You're also out of nowhere. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where it is, or whatever it is. Everything can kill you outside of your ship, basically, right? You're gonna die. So there is some kind of similarity also for me with the sea. But yeah, in this particular, yeah, this is the exploration, the danger, the fear, yeah, everything is there.
Oh,
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't really thinking what they were thinking. Because I've had this happen right outside, you know, with a storm, like right off the coast, you know, even
Yeah.
on the Great Lakes. That was scary. I was on a charter boat. It was like we were just far enough, right, where we couldn't see the shore, and then the storm rolls in. It was like, so it reminded me of that. And then like we got in and coasted in, right? But yeah, it definitely was like this cover reminded me of that. I was like, the shore was right there, but because the storm came in, we just couldn't see it. And you know, it's easy to think, except I'm from Michigan and they have the five Great Lakes, right? And it's easy to think that that kind of feeling, or you know, that kind of thing only happens to you know, on the ocean. But a lot of people don't realize how they're called the Great Lakes for a reason. Like there are plenty of times where I've been on there and I haven't been able to see anything, you know, or a storm cut rolls in or the fog rolls in, it's like actually lands like right there.
It's
And
ours, right?
it's really scary. So yeah, like even if you know, you're on a lake, or even if you're just, you know, near a dock or something like that, right? It's like you can still have that type of feeling. I've had that plenty of times, you know, just coming in, like trolling in and stuff and popping up to the dock. But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I really want to visit the lakes. I mean,
Oh
I
yeah,
will. I think
they're
I have.
amazing.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will. I have some friends there, so
Oh, that's
I
cool.
think
Yeah,
I
let me know if
have
you need
to.
any spots, huh? I'll hook you up and I'll let you know. Yeah,
Thanks.
super cool. Well, it's just funny because like I originally wanted to study like cryptozoology, so I wanted to study like unknown creatures and stuff. I still do a lot of different things. I think it just comes from the history background. You know, I love historical mysteries, so you know, doing things like that. So to me, it was just like I've always loved the Leviathan story. I always love, you know, the, you know, oceanography and just that the mystery of the unknown, you know. And so many people have seen just weird things, you know. Columbus actually in his journals has several days where a lot of times they won't even put the translations out anymore because they're just bizarre. And you know, a lot of people attribute to hunger or whatever, but it's like I always
Yeah,
think,
they're
what if they
hallucinating or something.
I'm
Because
always like, well, what if they did say something?
yeah.
So and
Yeah,
I think
I see that one
that's
as
cool.
well.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
interesting. Because I'm like, did you really, you're hallucinating that badly? I asked my friend, I was teasing him because he's researching some of the things that could have gotten on their bread, like the mold and stuff, particularly when they were coming here. And I was like, did they really eat that stuff and think a walrus was a mermaid? Like I always tease him and he's like, dude, this stuff is crazy. But I always just like the mystery side, particularly as a writer, right? Like there's just so many times something pop up on a TikTok or I read a one little excerpt or something and it gives me that idea. So I just think it's so cool that you went that route and kind of played on that fear, right? That natural fear of what's below the water, or even just what's the unknown, right? And is the unknown mechanical? Is it alien? Is it, you know, is it a creature that's biological? I always just think it's so cool to, you know, to kind of bring that up because again, I as a historian, I think everything comes from somewhere, right? Like our mythology, our, you know, our beliefs. So it's like people were seeing something, in my opinion, no matter, I don't know what it was, right? But they're seeing
Yeah.
something in ancient times, right? Or, you know, and sharing those or whatever. So you always got to wonder, is it a creature or misidentification. Like, I don't know, but I just always think it's really interesting to think about. So
Yeah,
that's what I thought
definitely,
was.
because back then you can't communicate with someone or a different landmass, or how you call it anyway. So like there are actual distances, and they come up with the same story, same leviathans, same dragons, same krakens. What the fuck? I mean, they always coming up the same ideas, the same apocalyptic stories, right? They're coming up
It's
so many
weird.
same, and it's really weird, especially when it's coming in the exact same period of the time.
Yeah, it's strange.
So yeah,
What was it?
I was always every basic things. I also wanted to be actually a history teacher. Maybe I will be at one point, but I was not learning and not studying
That's cool.
that thing. But I was always good with the history. It's fascinating. So I always read these kind of stories, and I was always enjoying this kind of an origin that I think in my book is actually there. I don't
That's
wanna
cool.
set up like high expectations or something, and it's not gonna be always on sea or always just some. I really liked changing the environment. I mean, maybe I getting maybe a little bit bored sometimes when I also writing it, and I just want the cool stuff. I just want the cool stuff, so we're just going. So I really like the changing the land, the characters, whatever, like even the stakes, like okay, what's going on? And I'm really going for like these epic ways. One of the readers, I think, in Hungary that told me, like, this book is feels like a movie,
No, that's
who
awesome.
is which is just only I seen it yet, and I just
Yeah,
wrote
that's
it
cool.
down. The whole book is spells like this. And I was like, okay, guys, I mean, maybe one day,
No,
somehow.
that'd
Yeah, it's really
be super
cool.
cool. I say there's not that many out there in terms of the blended genre. That's why I thought Outlander was so cool. And they didn't even use fantasy aspects, right? They just used the like historical fiction. They're like, and it made you think, right? Like, what happens if this was where, the like Grendel or, a Beowulf came from. So I always thought that was like super interesting. So I always love when people do the mashups, as I call them, with sci-fi and fantasy. You got one of the greatest ones ever with Star Wars, right? Dune's another one, right? So and I don't think there's many times where you combine these two elements, you don't get something, really, really awesome. So, and it's so funny that more people don't do them, right? Like so many of them do well. And it's like even in Indian traditional space, the last like 10 years, like a lot of the mashup like that for sci-fi fantasy, you get people coming and going from both genres, and you do something interesting. And I don't know, there's a lot there. So I think it's funny that people stay away from it. It's like, don't want to be the next George Lucas? All right, sure. So that's like me. I think it's absolutely fascinating to blend the two, because I think you always get something unique. And again, you get people from sci-fi or fantasy, and it's nice to have the blend. So I think it's always a good.
Yeah, and it's spicing up the whole genre, I think. Like sometimes, yeah, you just want the traditional dragon style, okay, heroic thing. You're slashing down the dragon and you have classic magic. Or you can get it for thousands of other books, thousands, or maybe even more. But mixed type, I think it's rare, and because I think it's really hard to measure it when it's good or when it's not. Like it's really edgy. And I also still don't know like how my audience gonna like my second book because of it's also I don't want to spoil it, but I think this is the big question for everybody who read it and review it because they love the twist, but still it's setting up a little bit different things for the second book. So I still don't know how it's gonna end, but overall I know. With the third book, because I'm planning a trilogy all together, but you will have to watch it all together. So even if they're not gonna like the second book that much, with the third one, I think everybody gonna understand it better, or they're gonna enjoy it even better. I don't know. Yeah, it's really hard talking about without spoilers,
Oh, I know. I've met a
but
lot of people that had like five or six book series they just
yeah.
finished, but I just had them on for the first time. So, they're trying to sell the first book in the series. They're like, and it's
Exactly. And also
it's
that I
difficult.
was not really pushing this is a series or something because I wrote it in a way like if someone read it, it's also gonna give you an idea. Like, for example, I think the good first one stories are when you actually complete the story already in the first book. And if someone wants to join for the second ride, the third ride, they can, but they already know what's the words are, what's the stakes are, what's the characters are. And even if they're never gonna read the second or the third one, they still understand, okay, what was it? And what they can expect from this series, and they still can talk about it. So it's I think I did it in a way, but it can be work as a standalone, as a classic, a really classic sci-fi or really classic merged fantasy something, like an old school kind of thing. But you can enjoy a book just for the first book.
No, I think that's smart, because that's like what Kevin Hearn did with his Iron Druid Chronicles, is like they build off each other. And I say like the Dresden Files do later. But you know, particularly like I'm on book like 9 right now. So like book 7, 8, and then everything after, really like kind of breaks the mold there. And but the original ones, they were, you know, like kind of standalone-ish. So Kevin Hearn does an amazing job at Iron Druid Chronicles. Like you could just go in at certain points, and he does a nice, very short recap, but for a reason at the start. I always study those as an author. Is like, if I had a longer series like that, like how do I want to recap people? How do I want to get new people in? And I think he's one of the best I've seen who's able to do that. Patricia Briggs with Mercy Thompson, her urban fantasy series is another one. But I think it's smart, particularly as an indie, right? They're both traditional. I think it's smart as an indie to do that, right? To, if you just buy this book, you'll enjoy it. It'll be great. But if you know, want to buy, you know, book two and then continue, I think that's just a great just marketing aspect, right? So I've seen a lot more people do that lately, but I've seen a lot more people do it in the indie market in particular to a greater effect. You know, they've had a lot more you know, positive engagement from doing that. So I think that makes total sense, particularly if you're, you know, your series or trilogy isn't done yet. So I think that's really smart. So gives you a lot more flexibility later on.
Exactly, because you don't really know how your audience gonna accept it, especially me, because I'm coming from like a really small country actually. So in our market, it's not that huge. So if I want to be known, I really have to translate it in more languages. That's why I was aiming going for English from the beginning, because because it's easier for me. I was always thinking about the translation ahead, so like
Smart.
how certain phrase is going to be translated, how the character name is going to be translated, how the locations I came up with is going to be translated. So I was always think ahead to be an easily translator, easy in a way. And this is was also one of my aims, so going for, but easily be continued. I think it's, some people are going to argue with, because it's some in some way it's a cliffhanger anyway on my book end. So some people is going to say like, no, it's a bullshit. It's going to be a second book without it. It's not worth anything. But the thing is, if you reread it, for example, in the second time, you're going to kind of understand like, yeah, it can be end like this actually. And it's already gonna be it just give you some imaginative things like okay, there are some sci-fis which is like that, for example the Blade Runner,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
It can be easily continued, like I mean the first one, but also the second one
Yeah.
actually, it can easily be continued, but in the meantime it's converted to the standalone
Yeah.
because it's already telling you the story, right? And maybe it's just leave you some questions. But don't worry, yeah, I'm gonna continue. So
Yeah. But I also think like too good writing does leave you with some questions, right? Like, because like even if they don't get a second movie too, right? Or another season, like you don't want everything, I think, in every season, but you know, to of a TV show to do that. But I do like something at the end, right? You know, so that way it makes me want to watch that next season. You know, I watched a TV show with Justin Hartley called Tracker, where he's like finding missing people. Season one was great. There's like this mystery about his family, his dad, and it really gets you to watch season two. They've kind of changed the mystery a little bit. There's still that mystery, but then there's like another thing, right? So now the world's getting bigger because he's got to, over time, he solves this. little aspect of that mystery of his family, but then he's got like a personal mystery going on, and it's just adding to the thriller aspect, you know? And I'm like, I find that a strength, right? Because I'm like, well, I started watching it because of this mystery, but now I'm watching it to further see how he solves both. And it's absolutely fascinating because they're both very different and it
Which
adds
one
to
is
the
this
world.
show? Sorry,
It's
I
called Tracker.
Tracker,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll send it to you. It's really good though. But it's interesting from a writing standpoint, not just as a viewer, but like I thought they did a really good job of trying to get you to watch the next season or watch the next episode. Just with how they're, you know, kind of incrementally giving you more of the character of the world, but also with this thriller aspect of solving these mysteries, these overarching like mysteries for the character. I don't know. I haven't seen very many shows, TV shows recently that do it this well. My friend's like, you love this show. I'm like, I do as a watcher, you know, as a viewer and a writer. It's like, I just thought they did a really good job. And the character itself is really cool. Very similar to the one I'm writing, or Jack Reacher, that TV series. I really liked both of the characters from Tracker and Reacher. They're both very similar to a character I'm writing for my urban fantasy, who's a monster hunter. So I hear him in my head. He's like, kind of like, oh, I like these shows because these guys, like, that's what how I would act, right? That's what I would do. And I'm like, is that really? I'm like, okay, you know, and it kind of helps me write, but it's so interesting to see how people, you know, write similar TV shows, but you know, so differently, and how they can present you something that, you know, I think shows particularly, they have you for 10 episodes, usually a season now, and then they have to get you to watch the next season. So I don't know. I think I'm just used to that now. And as a writer, I love to see the questions that they pose or a problem that needs to be solved still for the overarching plot. So when you're saying that to me, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's the kind of thing I find interesting, you know, as a reader and as a viewer of media. So I think that's really cool. That was I just got done with a graphic novel called oh, I guess I'm gonna forget now. I think it's like it's this. I'm gonna blank. But anyways, it was good. Like at the end, it did the same thing. Like you were saying, like they presented a mystery. And then they presented you a couple answers, but then they presented you with more questions going from volume one to volume two. So I think that's just good writing. And that always keeps me, you know, buying the same authors or, you know, the same graphic artists or, you know, watching the same show. So I think that's just well done. So if that's what you're doing, I think you're definitely on the right page there. I know we're wrapping up on time, but I gotta ask this because you said a lot of really cool things. What's the one thing that you've done so far with this book that you would say like you're the most proud of?
Honestly, I mean, coming from Hungarian language to English and Italian already, it's just a few
It's a
years, and
lot.
I mean, it's a lot of things, and
Yeah.
I just did it, and I also continue. I'm doing the sequel. I'm working on it, also some other stuff as well, because I also wanted to ask you. Sorry, I know you asked me the question, but I just can't think about it because it told me the TV shows and everything. Like, did you ever think about it to write a script for TV series or something?
I
Because
actually
I
sold
think,
1 years ago
ah,
for something different.
cool.
And well, it was cool. And then I was young and naive and I was pigheaded. And they were like, oh, my drama teacher was actually one of the ones that helped me with it. He knew this agent. So he's like, oh, they want to buy it for like $5,000. And I was like, oh, okay. And he goes, I think you get more. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we were in talks. I was about to get a lawyer. And then he comes back and he's like, oh, they want to tear it apart. And I was like, no, like this is the story. Well, now as an older person, not that it was the money, but I wish that I had allowed them to help me change the story and then see where they took it, if that makes sense. So I started writing some scripts after that, and I thought that's what I was gonna do at first before I then I went into illustrating, and I really wanted to do like graphic novels. So I was like, oh, somebody wanted to buy this. I was like, and I was drawing a lot and doing a lot of things, so it was like kind of a natural like medium. But yeah, I would totally love to do something like that, even if it was like a play or something like that at some point. That's definitely something that I think would be interesting to get into. I'm always looking to think, and I think this is good. This came up with an author I interviewed a couple weeks ago, where I was thinking, like, as a writer, right? Like, I would love just to write, like, whether it's for a video game, whether it's a tabletop, you know, like, I think doing scripts for movies, you know, it's a different, like, you know, type of medium, but and style, but I just think it would be really interesting to
It's the
do.
end of the day. It's a good story, right? This is what
Exactly. It's
describes it.
such a good
So
point. Yep.
that's what I was thinking of for myself.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm gonna finish the trilogy, I'm already working for some scripts for movies or TV
Oh, that's
series.
awesome.
Also, I can imagine my book as a TV series or a video game as well. And if they're asking for it, I can help with it to make it a really cool one.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
this is my aim, basically. So I don't think I'm gonna stop just to write books. No, I want to try myself out in every other entertaining, if you call that, every other kind of thing. So yeah, this is for me. That's why I was like so curious, like what you're doing as well. That's cool. That's really cool.
Well, like I originally had a graphic novel. It was like a Diablo 2 or a Diablo like story from the video game. And then my
I
friend
love
and
it.
I
I
was, all
love
right.
it.
Diablo 2 is my favorite video game of all time.
That's
Expansion
really
pack though,
cool.
right? So we were planning it, and then the pandemic happened. So we were just in the, in the process. We were finding somebody to do the cover, a cover artist, and we were finding somebody to do, like the ink, and do the coloring on my friend's drawings. And we were deciding if it was gonna be like a black and white. I thought that would be really cool on the inside. Because my friend just does it so well. He's colorblind, and he sees things differently. So it would have been a cool medium. And then the pandemic happened. So last year during NaNoWriMo in November, I actually was like, I need something to work on. And I actually took that story and outlined it as an actual novel. But I still really, really, really want to go back and do that one visually as like a graphic novel. So at some point, when I have some extra time and have some more stuff under my belt, I'd love to get with. I'm actually interviewing some comic writers and artists actually on this season. I actually did one that will be out soon, and then I have another one coming up. I have several actually, so they're already talking about like different Kickstarters and stuff like that. So I might have a couple people interested in the future, for
Yeah.
co-writing, that kind of thing. But
Cool.
I always think like I like what you're saying though, trying to plan ahead, right? And trying to not close yourself off. Because I think a lot of people do that. And I think, what if I'm better at writing video games? What if I'm better at writing, a story for a tabletop, or
Yeah.
adventures for one, right? Like if Wizards of the Coast or somebody comes a knocking or people want to do homebrew stuff and put it on Kickstarter, I would like to have things presented. I'm working on some game stuff for my own fantasy setting and, writing the quests or, whatever. So I totally agree with you. I think that anytime you can, expand. And like you said, I love how you said it, just tell a great story. I think that makes total
Yeah.
sense. So I don't like to ever close myself off to a new possibility.
That's
So I think that makes
cool.
sense. So yeah.
Maybe
I'm
one day we're
actually
gonna work together on what some kind of
Yeah, I was
video
gonna
game,
say,
right?
I'm looking
You
as soon as I
never
get, I have
know.
a couple of things in the works, and then as soon as they're published, I'll be looking. I wasn't gonna say it publicly, but I guess by now in April, we should around this time when this will go out, it'll be okay to say. But yeah, I am going to be looking for some co-authors in at least one subgenre or genre. So never know. So I'm gonna get a couple things out there, and then I told my wife, I was like, I would really like to do this, and I've seen a lot of people do it really successfully. So I think it'd be cool. So yeah, you never know. Be really neat. I think it'd be
Good
awesome.
luck. Good luck.
And I want to make sure we have enough time for that last question. Do you have any news updates or current
Oh,
projects, anything
yeah.
like that that you can share with us? I like that. Oh yeah.
Of course, yeah, I'm working on plenty. So for now, the special edition of this book with a new cover, a completely new cover, which is gonna be a bit more like fantasy vibe, like
Oh, cool.
because this paperback is more like sci-fi-ish. It's like, I don't say it's photorealistic, but it's like more like a realistic art style. But that one is really like more like a hand draw thing, like how you imagine this Leviathan as a fantasy setting, like when a medieval someone, just catching down this monster and how they imagine it. So that will be the new cover. This will be a
That's
special
cool.
edition with a lot of new illustrations, new and old. I mean, like it's on my website, because on my website
Oh, cool.
there is some map and location and so on, where you can learn more about this world, the kingdom, and everything. So these illustrations will be there. and
That's good.
some extra chapters, which was never been in the paperbacks. It was just only
Oh.
available via emails, to our newsletters, but
Oh, yeah.
not many people opening it and everything. So I was like, nah, just go for it. Hardcover, new cover and everything,
That's
and put
cool.
it together as a compact special
Yeah.
edition hardcover. And this will be available in the UK in the next few weeks, hopefully not a month. Anyway, so soon. So when this video is gonna launch, hopefully it's in every store
Yeah,
in the UK. We'll see.
knock
We'll
out some
see.
wood.
But also this means I can ship it overseas if someone gonna be interested. So that's really cool. Also, I'm
That's
working on a
awesome.
sequel because it's really close now. So I'm close to finish the first draft.
Oh,
But
cool.
it's still a few months away, and also next year I graduating, so
That's hard. Yeah,
it's
been
gonna
there.
be tough, but I'm aiming to also graduate and also finish the second book. And after graduation, I'm straight away gonna head to the third book. So yeah, the sequel is coming, special edition coming. I think it's already a big news. And also, yeah, because the Italian is just launched a week ago, I can safely say that it's two languages at least, which is like
Awesome.
in a serious way we are talking about to be translated with some
That's
publishers,
awesome.
and it's also two different languages. So yeah, future bright. I can't wait, and I hope I can sleep because at
Yeah, at some point, right?
the moment sometimes I'm really struggling. Sometimes
If
I
I'd have my
just
son, I would never sleep. He just makes me tired enough where I'd use
yeah.
before him. I'd be up till 12:30 writing, I'd be editing, and I get up at 6, and now I can't do that. So I like had to rework my work schedule and other things. I literally like have new jobs now because of that. So I totally feel you. But that's awesome. It's so funny because a lot of people I don't think realize that everything you just said is a lot of work. You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, oh, a sequel, translation, a special edition. It's like that's a lot of stuff. Like I think sometimes indie, we forget how much that actually is, right? Like, pretty how much one whatever is. My friend mentioned that recently. I was like, oh, I just have a novella and then like two more next year. And he's like, that's a lot of work. And I'll put it into one anthology for Kickstarter. He's like, that's a lot of stuff. And then we had some
Oh
talks
yeah,
with the
because
Kickstarter to do the Audible for
marketing
the
it as a
So,
self-published author, you have to
yep.
email with everyone. You're marketing
Yep.
it, you're posting about it,
Yep.
but you also have other things to do. I mean, that I'm not earning enough from my book to be just to be live a full-time author yet.
Yet, I like that. Yeah, I always tell that to people. I always say this, I'm like, yet. Yeah,
that's, I
that's so
mean,
true.
yeah, you have to be optimistic. I am. So yeah, it's still plenty of other things to do as well instead of these books. But yeah, it's really eating my daily life up. It's cool. I mean, I'm getting really positive feedback, so I think I'm
That's
worth
awesome.
it. It's absolutely worth it. It's
No, it's
really,
totally awesome.
yeah, it's really cool to talking about you, Dan. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I
Amazing.
just want to remind our audience that you can find Norbert's book and social links, especially by the time that this airs, like you guys can find that special edition cover and everything. You can find that link right down in the description anywhere we are watching or listening to this podcast. Just want to remind people, to make sure that you guys check out my book mail video as well from Norbert, where I talk about the book, things I'm excited about. And then for 2025, this book, Sealed Empire, is on my 2025 list. So if you have not checked out that link, I don't know if Norbert, at this point where we're
I'm
recording, is going to
so
be in my first
excited.
26 or my last 26 for 2025, but it's on there. So one of those videos, whichever one he ends up in, will be in this description as well. So please make sure you check that out. And then as soon as I have finished in the future Norbert's book, the book review video will be out as well and will be connected and in this description as well. So Norbert, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you sending me the book. As soon as I read the blurb, I was like, yeah, it's my thing. So I love that blend of sci-fi and fantasy. I'm really interested to see as a historian, like I love myths and stuff and I'm just interested to see kind of like how, just as a writer, you went with different things. So I'm like really excited about that. But if you need anything else, in the meantime, between now and when, this interview airs, like you just let me know and send me, like I said, whatever you have, and we'll get the special edition out there, and just get whatever the information is for, book two or the translations. You let me know and I'll help you out as best I can, my friend.
Thank you very much, Terence.
Perfect.
I really appreciate it. It's
Yeah.
so much help. And I think this book is absolutely, I'm definitely sure about you're gonna enjoy it. I'm
Oh,
sure.
yeah. I can already tell. Well, Norbert, I hope you have
But
a
now I have to
yeah.
catch up your books as well. I'll definitely
I'm
add it
hoping
to
by the
my
time this one's out, I
trying
hope by the time this
TBR.
interview's out, I can send you my first novella. Because if we're not out by April, then oh my God, of 2025, then there's gonna be something wrong. But yeah, I'll send it to you. But Norbert, I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon, my friend. But other than that, thank you so much, and you have a good one. Okay.
Thank you.
See you later, my friend.